Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
35 after the hour, Dr. Robert Slay is the chief emergency room physician for Marina Del Rey Hospital in California. He's written scripts for and starred in the Discovery Health Channel's hit reality-based television series, medical series, Untold Stories of the ER. He's been featured on that show more than any other doc and has also appeared in the hit TV series Mythbusters and Man Answers. He also has written the book called The Battle Buddy Diet. Wrote that with his physician wife, and you can get that on Amazon. Dr. Robert Slay's here. Thanks for coming on. Why do you think Untold Stories of the ER is such a popular show, Doctor?
You know, it is. First off, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to a giant like yourself, believe me. I'll tell you what, you know, it's amazing. The ratings on that show are off the roof. They're going into their ninth season. And people just love that combination of mystery, intrigue, self-destructive behavior, and that kind of thing that goes on that show. The ones that I've given them usually contain some humor. I think that's another important part of making it attractive. But the show goes on, and they're getting ready for their next season. They now have a spinoff called Sex Brought Me to the ER. Now tell me that isn't going to be a winner. Now we've got ER intrigue with sex. That's going
to
work.
I've yet to experience that thrill, but I hope someday soon I can. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen.
Thank you.
Some of my most fun times in medicine, when you look back on it, were in the emergency room at San Francisco General Hospital, where I did...
I happen to have been there myself at the old mission.
Right, some of my training in the mission, and, you know, we had a... This shows you the difference in medical treatment. You'd now be arrested if you did this. But the person who ran the ER, who ran the surgical services at San Francisco General Hospital,
right,
in those days, Dr. Blazer, wanted everybody to be perfectly ready. And so even if no one was in the ER at 3 a.m. in the morning, he would do spot visits. And if you weren't ready as a intern or resident, you got a Foley catheter. You got an NG tube, and you got tied to the gurney for 24 hours.
Yes, I'm actually familiar with that. I was there before you, actually. I'm a little bit older than you, believe it or not. Not according to your test. You're way younger than me according to your test, which irritated me a little bit. But, yeah, I think most people have fond memories if they've been an intern and been in the ER. It's kind of, I call it the trailway station of medicine. Usually it can be one that can be dangerous and sometimes funny, but nonetheless, variety is a blessing. Let's put it that way. You're going to see a little something of everything. The only criterion for admission to the ER in our country, as you know, is you have to be a homo sapien. And you get entitled to the same care as President Obama, no matter of your ability to pay, sex, religion, or your attitude. You can spit on me, call me names, insult my family, bite me, fight me, and I still will take care of you. Because that's the way we go.
And the interesting thing is we used to have, you know, a guy would come in with a gunshot wound and two women would be in with him, both thinking they were his one and only, and they would break out in a fight, you know, which in those days, thank God, wasn't with guns. It was with their pocketbooks, and they could swing those pocketbooks.
Yes, they could, and you want to stay out of the way. Yeah, I've been involved in several of those, and sometimes it's over the guy's prone body on the stretcher as they have the fight. I've had as many as four show up, none of whom knew about the other, for a single guy, and that gets real tense. Now, sometimes in the waiting room, they'll bond together and decide that the guy is the problem, and then that changes the dynamic completely there. He's having a heart attack, and they're wishing he would die. But, yeah, it happens all the time, too.
So I want to go over a couple of the funniest stories, but I also want to get to the history of the Battle Buddy Diet and its success.
And
because I think that's important. So let's take a couple stories in the rest of the segment. We have two about 8-minute segments. And
okay.
Then in the next segment, we'll talk about the Battle Buddy Diet.
All right.
So,
and you realize now that these stories that I'm telling you, these are the real stories of the ER, that ER doctors will only tell each other. Okay? You realize that.
Of course.
Don't forget, we're from Los Angeles, even though we film in Canada, and so there's a little bit of Hollywood here. So the gentleman came into the ER, and he was having severe abdominal pain, clenched over in the waiting area, so he got to come back. Not everybody gets to come back because of what we call triage, but he was sick enough to come back. And examining him, I couldn't really figure out what was going on. He didn't have a surgical abdomen, but he certainly appeared to be very ill, a young man claiming to be a veteran. And he had dog tags and all kind of stuff, and he had scars all over his abdomen and chest from war wounds and so forth. And it turned out that we went ahead and in the workup took an x-ray, and lo and behold, in the x-ray, we see two, maybe three, but at least two Gillette double-edged razor blades in his stomach area. As you know, that would be the left upper quadrant. And so I went back and asked him, well, how did these razor blades get in your stomach? What's going on here? Well, I was at a bar, you know, and these guys were betting me, you know, that I wouldn't do it, and I went ahead and just swallowed the razor blades. So, of course, we're very upset about this. You being in the surgical field, you understand that there's a tremendous risk that he's going to cut one of his intestines or his stomach. He's going to get peritonitis, inflammation on the inside of the stomach, and die. So we admit him to the hospital. We try to talk him into surgery. Oh, no, I'm not going to have surgery. I've had too many surgeries in my life from the battle wounds. Nobody's going to cut me again, on and on. As we undress him, one of the things he refuses to do is take off his dog tags. Nobody's taking these tags off until they're on my toe and I'm a dead man. Nobody takes my dog tags off. So we admit him to the hospital. He's refused the surgery. Daily, we're taking x-rays of this guy's belly to see what's happening with the razor blades. They seem to be staying in the stomach. They're not going down the intestines or anywhere else. So we continue to try to talk him into letting us, you know, at least maybe do an endoscopy where we look down over the tube and see if we can retrieve him. Let's see. We don't know what to do. The GI guys are baffled. The general surgeons want to operate. We don't know what to do. Meanwhile, this guy, he's kind of like McMurtry in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He's bigger than life. He started playing poker on the ward. He started taking people's money. He's very friendly with the nurses who like him. And he seems to be disappearing from the ward on a regular basis and coming back intoxicated, leaving the hospital. So finally, with pressure from various chiefs and so forth, we talk him into, please let us do the endoscopy. We'll look down there and see where the razor blades are. It's been now 4 or 5 days. He doesn't seem sick at all. He's eating steak. He's running around the place like he's very happy. So we do the endoscopy, and I'm in the room at the time because I want to see the razor blades. They're not really sure how they're going to get them out. If they see them, they just want to verify where they are. Are they wedged or what's going on there? So we look in there, and no razor blades. No razor blades. We look in the fundus. We look all over the stomach. No razor blades. So now what? So now we take him back to x-ray, do the x-ray. There are the razor blades. Back to endoscopy. Back in again. No razor blades. So you give me the diagnosis, Mike.
Well, he's got the razor blades either attached to the outside of his stomach or someone left them in at one of his prior operations, or he, I don't know what else it could be.
Now I know why you were AOA in medical school. His dog tags, which he wouldn't take off, what I decided to do was take a lateral of his abdomen. This was before the days of CT and so forth. I took a lateral of his abdomen. There are the razor blades on the surface of the skin. Exactly right. Taped behind his dog tags were the razor blades, which he would then take off with scotch tape, stick onto his stomach for the x-ray, put back onto his dog tags. So I confronted him, grabbed the dog tags, got the evidence and so forth. The guy stormed out of the ER, you know, took his stuff, his medals and everything, and left the place, saying that we didn't care about him and all this stuff. And it turns out that was in a VA hospital. It turns out there's no law against that. It turns out this guy was a professional Munchausen who had gone up and down the East Coast with the razor blades, and that was before we had widespread internet or distribution of information like this. And had now was coming to the West Coast, which is where I ran into him. So we finally did make the diagnosis, and he finally did leave with bad attitude.
Joe? Be back with Dr. Richard Slay, script writer for Untold Stories of the ER, and a book with his wife, which is called The Battle Buddy Diet. You can buy that on Amazon. More with him and Dr. Mike coming up after the break. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And our guest is Dr. Robert Slay, co-author of a book called The Battle Buddy Diet. He wrote that with his physician wife. You can get that on Amazon.com. Here's Dr. Mike Royson.
And I want to talk to him, that is Dr. Slay. We've talked about ERs and untold stories of the ERs so far, but what I want to talk to him about is he and his wife decided to wage a personal war on obesity and disease. One, what's the origin of it, and what is the Battle Buddy Diet?
Well, you know what happened was my wife came home about 4 or 5 years ago and said, you know, Bob, I was looking at the World Health Organization, this thing called BMI. Make a long story short, I was shocked to find out the World Health Organization considered me obese. Now, that was weighing 238 pounds at about 5'8", 5'9". That is pretty obese. And so I decided, well, maybe I need to look into this and find out what's going on here. I'd had a 32-inch waist my entire life growing up. I'd been an athlete, been a Special Forces Army Delta Force guy, never had a problem with weight. Nothing like that. And looking at the literature, I found out that, wait a minute, this means, and you know this well, that you're going to lose anywhere from 12 to 16 to 18, maybe 20 years off your life based on abdominal obesity. And I said, my God, this can't be happening to me. As you know, when we go to work, I was in the changing room with the other doctors putting on scrubs for the ER. And as you know, the scrubs are color-coded. The little drawstrings are different colors for different sizes. So I started out with the orange for small when I first started working, and some 15 years later, I've graduated up to the lethal red, which is double extra large with a 40-inch waist. And I didn't think I really had a problem. People, Dr. Andrew Weil said that part of growing old is gaining weight and it's graceful aging and on. But the shocking news of all the diseases, now some 38 and growing, and you know this better than me, got my attention. Not only the metabolic syndrome, diabetes, hypertension, atherosclerotic heart disease, triglyceridemia, etc., but also the fact that cancers, GERD, sleep apnea, and the list goes on and on and on. As you know now, there are probably 5 or 6 cancers associated with this obesity, so we decided we had to do something. We'd also fallen into what I call the Mako syndrome, which is the middle-aged couple obesity syndrome. And that's where the husband and wife sit there and they watch the TV, eating chips, eating processed foods, and gaining 5 or 6 or 5 pounds a year times 10 years, 15, 20 years of marriage, and suddenly can't understand why they're not attractive to each other, why they feel depressed, no energy, and the relationship seems to be going nowhere. And that's where we were. So we started looking into the literature, and one of the major things I have to give credit to Dr. Esselton and Campbell, Forks Over Knives was definitely the video, and if people in your audience haven't seen it, and I'm sure many have, they need to see that, was really got my attention. And further investigation into all the world's literature, university-based and so on, about longevity, diet, obesity, and so on, pushed us into designing our own diet. And what the diet came down to is what you and your listeners are well aware of, and that is whole foods, grains, beans, and I like to add salmon. And essentially with that diet, and we put that in place, we decided as a bond. And what this book is all about is how, with your domestic partner, you can do it. You cannot do it without the help of your domestic partner. If the two of you decide we're not going to have any lethal foods in our house, we're going to stick together, we're going to bond together for 4 weeks, we're going to stick to this diet, we're going to exercise, and we're also going to do a little resistance training, and we're going, at the end of the 4 weeks, we're going to see where we are. And, Mike, you know the end of the story. The end of the story is the end of 4 weeks. You have lost somewhere between 10. I lost 12 pounds. Your waist has gone down by about 2 inches. You have new energy. You feel better than you've ever felt before. So after 4 weeks, you said, let's go for 12. At the end of 12, I lost 30-some pounds. She had lost 20-some pounds. More importantly, my lipids, my blood pressure, and all those things which were hovering on metabolic syndrome all went back to normal. And it was then I decided we can never go back. We've got to stay the course here. And as you know, once you get past that initial change and you grieve for the beef you're not going to have anymore, and you grieve for the other kind of foods that you just can't eat, especially processed lethal food, then you decide this is a better way to go. You feel better. You don't feel hungry. You have new energy. And all of your, more importantly, your chance of functional longevity is immensely increased by the diet. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
And so have you stuck with that now?
We have stuck with it. Now, I've had a few little things where I've gained a few pounds here and there, like a vacation, and I think no one is perfect. And I used to be Dr. Esselton, who allows no drift here. I used to be like that. You can never have anything. But let's face it. You maybe want to have a little turkey for Thanksgiving. You maybe want to have a little treat or a special occasion or something like that. But, yes, we both kept our weight down. I weigh what I weighed in high school. She weighs what she weighed in high school. And we're on no medications. We feel more energy than we've ever felt in our lives. And doing it together was the key. Just one quick story. My son came home from college, and he brought, you know, with him coffee ice cream. We were in the middle of this process when this happened. Put it in the freezer, he ate a little bit of it, and left the rest. So Monday morning, my wife's going to work. As you know, anesthesia gets there early. I'm going to go a little bit later. So she's leaving. I said, you know, honey, we need to take that ice cream out of that freezer, and I'm going to put it down the sink. Because if it stays here, I'm going to eat it, and we just can't eat it. And she says, that's a good idea, Bob. So she gets in the car. I go into the freezer, get the ice cream out. I can't even wait to go upstairs and get a spoon. I see a screwdriver sitting on the workbench over there. I grab that and eat that ice cream. Lick the inside of that carton. If CSI had come in, they wouldn't be able to tell you what was in that carton when I was finished. The phone rings. She says, you ate the ice cream, didn't you? And I said, yes, I did. So if it's there, I'm going to eat it. And that's, I think, 90% of the battle is getting those foods away from you. The other lethal thing is at work, in the break room, and people all have office break rooms. As you know, they have the nurse's lounge, doctor's lounge, where there's just tons of lethal food sitting there. With sleep deprivation, we know that you make bad decisions about food. We know that's critical to weight loss and maintaining it is sleep. So there you are at night, working all night, and there are those donut holes sitting there. They've been there for probably a day or two, and they look mighty inviting, and you're probably going to eat them. So other trick is to take food with you that's healthy food when you go to work. Take it in the car and don't be subject to that stuff that's lying around out there because you will eat it.
Joe, Great story, Joe.
All right, thank you, Dr. Mike. Dr. Robert Slay, read his book called The Buddy to Battle Diet. It's available now on Amazon.com.
The Battle Buddy Diet.
Battle Buddy Diet, and it's available on Amazon.com. Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs@gmail.com. Check us out on iHeartRadio. It's a great way to experience your favorite shows and personalities and hear what's going on in the world of health today. Try it out for free. Go to iHeartRadio.com. Download the app or use the web. If you're using the web, click Talk on the main menu and search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that. And then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm very proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julian and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.